All right, let's begin today's session with Sunil Gupta, who will discuss reinventing business. Go ahead, Sunil.
Thanks, Larry. Technology has changed every aspect of our life, and businesses are trying to adapt in this new world. Companies are using technology to improve efficiency, automate processes, enhance user experience, launch e-commerce sites, and create hackathons and scrum teams. And all these are good, but have business leaders pause to think if the rules of business have fundamentally changed? Let me highlight one such fundamental change in how we need to rethink strategy. For decades, we've been told that strategy is about focus, and competitive advantage comes from making your product better or cheaper. Now take a look at a company like Amazon and ask yourself, what business is Amazon in? Is it an online retailer, a cloud service provider, a hardware producer, an advertising giant, or a movie producer? It certainly doesn't look like focused strategy to me. Perhaps Jeff Bezos missed his strategy class. But somehow he has been able to build a $1.7 trillion company. What connects all these disparate businesses of Amazon, and is there a general lesson for all of us? The strategy paradigm of make it better or cheaper is a very product-focused view and assumes that you're selling one product to one customer at a time. But what if you offer multiple products as complements using a razor blade strategy? So you can sell Kindle cheap in order to make money on ebooks. You might say, what's new? Razer and Blade have been around for a long time. Yes, but today Razer can be in one industry and Blade can be in a completely different industry. Take Amazon Studio as an example. Why does it make sense for Amazon to spend billions of dollars to create its own movies and give it away for free? Well, Prime Video is a Razer that creates stickiness among Prime customers who end up buying much more products on Amazon e-commerce site. In other words, Amazon Studio is a razor for its e-commerce business. In fact, Jeff Bezos has publicly said that every time we win a Golden Globe Award for our content, we sell more shoes. This idea of cross-industry complements can be extremely powerful. If Amazon wants to compete with banks by offering loans to small and medium enterprises, it can choose to offer loans at such a low rate that banks just won't be able to compete. How can Amazon do this? Well, it doesn't have to make money on loans if these loans help its merchants grow on its platform, which provides additional commission to Amazon in the long run. The moment you make a competitor's core business your razor, they will have a very hard time to compete. So the first dimension of the new strategy is about connecting products as complements. The second dimension is about connecting customers. Take the example of Facebook or Clubhouse. What's the value of Facebook if you are the only person in the world using it? Not much. As more people join Facebook, its value increases for you without any change in the product. So it's not about product, it's about connecting customers, and this is the classic network effect. So the digital economy is about connections, connecting products and connecting customers. And this is true not only for tech companies like Amazon or Facebook, but also for traditional product or service companies. Take the example of Peloton. Peloton could have used the traditional strategy paradigm to claim that its bikes are more expensive, but they are of the highest quality. But over time, competition catches up, and soon it becomes a race of product features with very little differentiation. As we all know well, Peloton chose a very different path. It built complements in the form of on-demand videos, and perhaps more importantly, it created a network of Peloton riders who can ride at the same time to get a virtual gym experience at home. It won't matter to Peloton customers if tomorrow a new competitor comes with a better bike because the new player won't have the community of riders that Peloton has. This strategy of connecting products and customers also cuts across traditional industry boundaries and changes the nature of competition. At some level, Prime Video is competing with Netflix and Disney Plus. However, while Netflix has to make money from its content, Prime Video is the razor for Amazon to drive its e-commerce business. When you have players in an industry with very different objective functions, the nature of the competition games changes. Now back to the issue of focus. Traditionally, we have defined focus based on the industry we compete in. So if you're a bank, you should focus on banking. But today, focus is defined by capabilities. And this focus on capabilities opens up completely new opportunities for growth. When Alibaba launched Taobao, it faced the challenge that buyers did not trust sellers. To solve this problem, Taobao created an escrow account where buyers' money is kept until they're satisfied with the product they received. But once Alibaba developed this capability or muscle to manage money, it went on to develop one of the largest wealth management companies in the world. MasterCard used the same strategy. It developed the analytical and data analytic and cybersecurity skills to manage its own business, and then went on to leverage that muscle to generate almost 25% of its revenue from these new services. And perhaps the best example of this is, again, Amazon. Amazon used its computer vision technology to improve its warehouse operations and later used this capability to launch its cashierless Go stores. Recently, just last week, it announced the launch of a hair salon in London. This might seem strange for an online retailer until you recognize that this is the way for Amazon to test and leverage its technology muscle that could revolutionize offline retail the way AWS did in the online world. So let me conclude by saying that business leaders should be not simply thinking about technology to digitize existing operations, but re-examine the fundamentals of their business.
Sunil, thank you.